Welcome. Good day to you. This is episode 13 of the Commitment to Excellence podcast. My name is Sean Quimby. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I am bringing you this show to help you and me make a commitment to excellence, to be the best that we can be in whatever it is that we choose to pursue, everything that we choose to pursue. Thanks for joining us today. I am still sick. This is week two of Sick Sean, and another podcast that I'm a skosh less prepared for than I would like to be, just given how sick I've been. I did put my big boy shoes on and went to see a doctor this week, and that produced some antibiotics for sinus infection and ear infection with some mild improvement at this point, but I can't hear out of my left ear, and I still don't feel very good, generally speaking. So I don't mean to whine about that to you. That's not what you came here for. But it is an explanation for why you're getting another potluck episode today. However, it's the 1st of March, so I did say I was going to do a monthly check-in on my goals and objectives. I'm doing that for a couple of reasons. One is I just think it's a good idea to do that for myself. And I think it's a good idea for you to do it. If you don't have some goals and objectives, and, you know, here we are, March. I'm recording this on March 3rd, so it's called 1st of March, and 2 months of the year are gone, and the whole New Year's resolution nonsense is gone, and I'm still plugging away at goals and objectives that I set for myself at the first of the year. I think we all should be doing that. So I hope you are too. So we're going to do that again today, and then I'm going to follow up a little bit on a topic that I talked about last week. So last week, if you didn't listen to last week's show, go ahead and go back and listen to episode 12. I did a pretty long segment on kind of thinking about finding a therapist and my thoughts around what that should look like. I'm going to follow up on that today and take it a little bit further. But anyway, I'm still sick, so you may hear some coughing, hacking. But I talked to somebody yesterday who told me they didn't hear any in last week's episode. So I think I went back and when I edited it, I think I got most of it out. So that's cool. I'll try to do the same again today, but just sort of a little disclaimer. Still sick, still a little under the weather, still putting off the more in-depth episode that I have planned. But today you're going to get another potluck. So let's jump into going over my goal. So 2 months of 2024 are gone. What have I accomplished? What have you accomplished? Again, just to go back through my goals, I set a goal. I'll just take them one by one. So I set a goal to burn 225,000 calories for the year. I'm good there. I'm going to be fine. Let's see. And that's deliberate calories from exercise specifically. So again, I've said this before, I've got one of those, I've got a pretty nice smartwatch. You turn it on when you're going to work out, it starts tracking your workout. I know it's not an exact science, but it's pretty good. It's pretty accurate. It's pretty close. It's close as I'm going to get anyway. So I use that to track my workouts. My workouts have been garbage for the last 2 weeks, but I'm way ahead on calories. So I'm closing it. I'm like right at 40,000 already for the year. So I'm pretty good on that. My next goal was to get down under 240 pounds, which is a weight that I have not been at since I was maybe in high school. So truth be told, I had a good February. I lost like 12 pounds in February. So that's great. That puts me well on track to hit my quarter goal of about 20 pounds. Problem is, the only reason I lost a pound of that weight was because of how sick I've been the last couple of weeks. So I'm I'll take that as a win, but I know it's not a win because I was as disciplined as I need to be. So that's a bummer, but let's see if I can keep it going. I'm starting to feel a little bit better, so my guess is that's going to get a little bit harder. Next goal was to walk 1,000 miles, like a deliberate exercise miles. I was off at the end of the first month. I'm off the pace even more so at the end of this month. I'm at 105 miles for the year, so I'm falling back quickly. I should be at about 180, roughly. I should be roughly at 180 miles right now, so I'm like 75 miles off the pace. Still can get there. That is not an insurmountable amount of miles if you look at it, but the hole is getting deeper, so I've got to get on that. Weekly podcast. So far, I've done it. That's why I haven't wanted to last week or this week, just because I'm sick and I feel a little ill-prepared to do it, but it's all about the reps. I'm new at doing this, and some of these they're just going to suck. So, I just got to put in the time. That's everybody who's ever had a successful podcast or has done everything, anything, has sucked along the way. This is part of the process for me. I'm going to, some of these are going to suck, including ones that I put tons of time into prepping for. It's reps. It's just my 13th rep. So I'm putting in the reps. And I'll feel better hopefully next week, and I'll crush that one, and we'll keep moving. But I've committed to myself, I'm doing one of these a week. I've committed to 2 years of this in my mind. If it sucks and I haven't accomplished anything, it's not going anywhere, and I'm starting to run out of things to say 2 years from now, then I'll stop probably. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep plugging away at it. So weekly podcast, I'm knocking that out of the park. Even if I don't want to, which is how you get good at stuff, right? Like, you do it over and over and over again when you don't want to, when it doesn't feel good, when you're busy, that is how you get better at stuff. So here I am getting better. Thanks for coming along for the ride. I'd set a goal to finish my book. First draft is done. Check. That's good to go. That was my first quarter goal. We'll see. I haven't touched it. Really, since I finished, I have started the editing process, but I've only done it like once or twice, so I need to keep grinding with that. But it's the first part's done. Use my time effectively. The last 2 weeks I've not done a very good job with that, just because I've been sick. Last weekend I literally was in bed for like 15 or 16 hours a day, and that's, my God, I hate that. I'm just wasting time. But you're sick, you got to get better. It is what it is. I just got to go through the process. There's apparently not much I can do to speed it up. So, but I've spent a lot of time with my wife and my daughter. Got back yesterday. I went to softball practice I missed last week just because I was sick, but went with the team, worked out, had a great workout. Got a scrimmage today. I love softball scrimmages. It's going to be a good day. So that'll be fun. That's what I've tried to focus on while I've been sick, and I haven't felt like doing a lot of physical stuff. I've just tried to focus on spending time with my wife and my daughter, and I'm watching a lot of TV and just taking it easy, but I'm focused on some quality time there. That's important. Then the other goal I haven't really talked about, I'm not going to, just some career planning ambitions, some business related stuff that is moving forward a little bit behind the scenes. I found a couple of resources that I didn't know that I had because I asked some questions. And that's a really cool thing to think about, just the resources that you have, the connections and friends that you have. I made a social media post asking a really vague business related question, and two people popped up and said, hey, I can help you with that. And I did. One of them, I thought I kind of sort of knew what he did for work, but he doesn't do He's a little more involved in some things than I thought he was, and he's like, hey, I can help you with that. And then another guy, he went to high school with my wife, and I knew we were like kind of like-minded, and we'd made connected over social media over the years. To my recollection, like, I don't think I've ever met him in person, but he's a good dude, good family guy. We have some similar worldviews on stuff, and so he shot me a private message. He's like, hey, I can help you with that. And I was like, really? How so? And he's like, oh, well, this is what I do for a living. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know that. I asked my wife. I'm like, hey, did you know so-and-so did this for a living? She's like, yeah. So I'm like, oh, I didn't know. So anyway, I just asked a question. I wasn't even asking for help. I was just saying, hey, does anybody know anything about this stuff? Because is this something I can do on my own, or do I need to like go hire an attorney for it? Anyway, long story short, these two guys both sent me private messages and were like, hey, I can help you with that. So the power of a network that you might not even know you have, like, that's a pretty cool thing. Just make sure you're willing to do, you know, if you want people to help you with stuff like that, you need to be willing to help other people. And maybe it's not a trade, right? Like, maybe I can't help either one of these guys with anything, but there's somebody out there that I can help with something. So, you know, I believe that if you put stuff out there into the world and you're willing to kind of do a good thing and help people out, when I think I am, I'm not going to do tons and tons of work for free and, you know, whatnot, because there's some boundaries. And for the record, both these guys told me, they're like, oh, I don't want a dime for helping you with this. Well, that's not how that's going to work. I'm going to reimburse them for their time. And one of them, you know, and maybe he knows this, I don't know, but if I end up doing what I want to do, like, he might be able to help me from a business standpoint with a professional relationship ongoing. And maybe that's what he's thinking. And he's like, you know, hey, if this works out for you, then we can do, I'll help you get started. And then maybe we can do business together after that. I don't know. He hasn't said that, but I could see where he might be thinking that. And I'd be, you know, I'd certainly be open to that if it makes sense when the time comes. So anyway, just, it's interesting to think about the resources you might have in your life that you don't know you have. And that's, you know, that's one reason why building relationships are important. And having people in your life, here's a little sidebar, that having people in your life, I just had this conversation with a friend of mine. He was asking me a question. He's like, hey, give me some feedback on something. And I said, yeah, absolutely. And without going into details, he basically was like, hey, my wife says I can be kind of obnoxious sometimes. Do you think I'm obnoxious? Which is funny. I don't. So I wrote back and I was like, no, I don't. I think you're a smart, confident guy. And I think that, here's what I think. I think that people who aren't smart, confident guys might think this guy's obnoxious. I guess I didn't say that to him. So if you're listening to this, you know who you are. You know, I could see where people that are not smart, intelligent, confident people, professional people, might find this guy that way. But my response is, why do you want to hang out with people like that? Why do you want people like that around you? And I'm not like that. I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody or I want to be better than anybody. But here is what I am saying. If you don't add value to my life, I'm not sure I want you in it at this point in time. And by value, I don't mean that I can get something from you or that there's an inherent business relationship or you can make me money. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that I want the people in my circle to be people that are doing stuff, that are raising the bar in their life in some way, that are accomplishing some things, that are making a difference, that are doing business. Like, I want people like that in my life. And if you're not someone like that, and maybe it isn't because, so like this, my buddy that I'm talking about, like, we have no business relationship. He like, there's no, you know, what he does and what I do couldn't be more different. But he's doing stuff. Like, he's a business guy. He's rocking it. He's very, very successful, as far as I know anyway, at what he does. And I've got a ton of respect for him. He makes me want to be a better man. Period. And that is adding value to me. Like, I just like the guy. Like, we've been friends since we were kids. And, you know, I like his family, and I think he likes mine. And, you know, but that's all value, right? Like, if you're not adding value to other, like, what's the point? Why are you wasting time? So that is pretty much what I said. Like, maybe these people that are experiencing you that way are just fucking, they're bringing you down. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to pick and choose anybody's friends for them, but I know I have had friends in my life that one in particular, the really good dude, you know, he'd do anything for you, but at what expense? Like, he's like the Dementor of, like, he just sucks people's souls out. He's so negative and everything. It's everybody else. Like, he doesn't add value. So, I've got to the point where I don't want to spend any time with this particular person, because don't sit out, you know, if you're listening to this, you know me, and you're sitting around and you're like, is he talking about me? Nah, I'm probably not talking about you. Anyway, just be someone that adds value. And I'm trying to be that person that I try to add value. And I think that's why I got these people are reaching out to me, because I think I'm a good dude and I'm trying to do some good stuff. And, you know, I'm never going to add value to them. They're adding value to me, but they're raising the bar in my community. That's who I want to be surrounded by, is people that add value and raise the bar. And, you know, are you being that kind of person? I hope you are. You know, I mean, that's who I want to surround myself with. People doing cool stuff, even if they're not doing it for me. Like, I see people doing cool stuff. I see people being successful. Like, I want to be more successful, and hopefully I bring that to you. My buddy that asked me that question, I think he asked me the question because he knows I'd tell him the truth, and he cares what, if he didn't care what I thought, he wouldn't have asked me that question. You know, I don't know, his wife probably wouldn't have liked my answer, but there's something to think about there, right? Like, if you are hating on my confidence, or, you know, thinking that, you know, who am I to have a podcast, or, you know, I don't need people in my life that are going to bring me down. The podcast will do all right, or it won't. And, you know, that's fine. If you're not on board for the ride, that's cool. I know there are people that think that. I have a friend who has a friend who I've met, so we'll call him an acquaintance, who just wrote a book. And this guy was cutting on him for writing the book. And he's like, yeah, nobody wants to hear what he has to say. Well, you don't know that. Like, you've been friends with him since you were a little kid, and you know all the, like, worst things about him. But bro wrote a book. I know enough about him to know that he has some unique, interesting life experiences. Now he has some unique, interesting professional experiences. You can't look past the fact that you've been friends with him since he was a kid, and you know all the dumbest, stupidest things about him. But he's also, like, doing some stuff. I don't know. I haven't been able to let go of that when I heard this guy cutting on his buddy, because he's got, like a TikTok channel, and he wrote a book. And he's putting it out there in the world, and he's taking a risk in doing that. And again, like, I know I don't know all the stupidest things about this guy. I don't know all the dumb things that he did when he was a kid. But I see what he's doing now, and he's trying to get after it. Like, that's awesome. If you have somebody in your life that's trying to do stuff like that, and you are not lifting them up, you're, like, cutting them down, like, that's about you, not about them. Don't be that guy. Don't be that gal. Okay? Lift them up. So I'm lifting my buddy up here. Like, he asked me, if you got people in your life, bro, that are not digging on what you have to offer, they don't think you're a you know, when I look at you, I see a confident, intelligent man that is, you know, when you hear stuff that's stupid and you know it is, you're not just going to sit there. And, you know, maybe there's a time and a place for that, right? Like, you don't have to, nobody has to correct everybody else. But if you're spending a lot of time around people that can't take that and can't hear that, probably need to find some new people to spend time around. That's just how I see it, and that's how I view it, and I just think that's a good way to be in the world. But here's the obligation, right? Like, you got to be a person that adds value, and that is something that I think about a lot. Am I adding value? Am I not adding value? You might not want the value that I have to offer, and that's fine. But I'm trying to add value, first and foremost, to my family, obviously, to people that I work with, and then, you know, my social circle. I, you know, if you don't think that I'm adding value to your life somehow, then maybe don't need me around. And I certainly, right, wrong, or indifferent, that's certainly how I look at it. If I am going to allocate my spare time, my free time, time that I own myself, if I'm giving that to something or someone, it's going to be somebody that I think adds value. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about, do you make me want to be a better person? Do you make me want to raise the bar? Do you make me grow in some way? And it might just be like, you know, I think you're fun or whatever. Like, that's cool. There's nothing wrong with having some fun, but I'm a pretty serious guy. And, you know, like, just don't, going out and having like fun for the sake of fun, that's not what makes my clock tick right now. The only place I want to do that's on the softball field with my daughter and the other girls that we coach. That's what I do. That is where I give my time for that. And I just, man, I love it. God, I love it. I wish I could make a couple $100,000 a year coaching softball. I'd just do that all the time. Maybe someday. But in the meantime, that's where I give my fun. The rest of my time is going to be like for my family and then for spending time with people that add value in some way, shape, or form. So be someone that adds value and know what your value is. Know what you bring to the table and like hold on to that. Pay attention to it. No, there's a guy on Instagram that I follow that does all these know your worth videos. I don't love them all. I don't. But, you know, he's always talking about like know your worth, know what you bring to the table. There's something to be said for that, right? And it's like bring it, but expect that back. There's some give and take. I don't know. There was an unplanned sidebar conversation to wrap up reflecting on my goals. So to come back to that, I'm doing all right with my goals. I'm not crushing some of them, but some of my, I'm good in every category, and I can get great in every. It's still early, right? Like only 2 months of the year, just 10 months left. I got this if I want to have it and if I can stay healthy and you know, keep the clock ticking. But on the other hand, 2 months of the year are gone. They're over, they're gone, they're never getting back. I'm 2 months closer to death, right? And I know maybe that's a, some people would say that's kind of a morbid way to look at life, like you're a day closer to death. I just think that you can take two looks at that, right? Like it can be morbid and discouraging if you get up every day and think, all right, I'm a day closer to death. You can look at it that way and you can see it that way if you want. There's another way to look at it though. Like I own my time and I only have so much of it left. What am I doing with it? How am I going to spend this time? I think it's a really powerful way to think about things. It gets a little depressing at times, I guess, because I don't own every minute of every day yet. I want to, and I'm going to. And I wish I started looking at it that way 20 years ago, because I would by now. But in the meantime, how are you, what are you doing with your time? Are you using it wisely? Are you accomplishing things? Are you moving the ball forward? 2 months of 2024 are gone. You're never getting them back. Have you accomplished anything? You know, I kind of sort of have. That's good. I don't think I've won yet, but I have not lost. I'm moving the ball forward. There is value in deliberately setting down and assessing that and deciding what am I doing? Like, take stock, make decisions, move, adjust, focus, stay moving forward on the path that you want. You set some goals for yourself. If you haven't, get on it. You've wasted 2 months of the year. If you don't have goals that you're deliberately actively working, I don't care what they are. Maybe they're financial, personal, health, whatever. Whatever is a priority for you. Make some goals and focus on them and start working. Start making some progress. Do not waste another day. Those are my thoughts on that. The next thing I wanted to talk about was, so last week I talked a little bit about thinking about how to find a therapist, and if you want to find a therapist, and what are you going to do, and how do you do it, and what are some things you need to think about. I wanted to talk a little bit more about that specifically. So I don't know, you know, I think my target audience for this podcast is kind of young-ish professional people. But I think I know that the majority of people that are listening to this so far anyway have families, parents, that kind of thing. So I suspect that a lot of people might be thinking about this from the lens of like, oh, well, do my kids need a therapist? Should I get my kids a therapist? And I see it all the time. And, you know, if you slice up the pie of, you know, folks that I work with professionally, you know, kids, families, adults, that kind of thing, the biggest pieces of those pie throughout my career would be kids and families, adolescents and families. So that's really where my expertise lies and where the bulk of my experience professionally has been. So, and I see it a lot. I hear about it, you know, from schools and friends and family. You know, does little Johnny, little Susie need a therapist? Should I get them one? And I was listening to a podcast this week, a woman. And I don't think she's like a professional in terms of, I guess I think she's just a journalist, but she's been studying. She wrote a book recently on basically the harm that the therapy industry causes kids. And you might be thinking that, well, yeah, Sean probably didn't like that very much. Now, that's not true. I agree with her. I haven't read her book yet, so I guess I need to dig into it a little more. But I listened to her on this podcast and I was like, oh yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that therapists can do a lot of harm, especially to kids, and oftentimes to adults that are in a tough spot. I think therapists can do a lot of harm. So I don't think that bringing your child to a therapist should be a decision that you take lightly. And on the average, if you asked me if I thought you should do that, I think my answer would be no. Now, there's a line there, right? There's a time and a place where things have gotten to a point where we've crossed over to the other side. And obviously, I see that. You know, I think most of the kids that I work with, they've crossed the line, obviously, because it's pretty hard to get to me. Things have got to be bad to get to me professionally. Where kids are concerned, adults is a different conversation. It's not as hard to get to me. But for kids, it's pretty hard to get to me. So if you've gotten to me, like, things are not good. So I'm not saying those kids shouldn't be where they are. don't need the services that they need. What I am saying is that your average kid walking around doesn't need a therapist. I think you should give a lot of thought to that. I think that we are exposing our kids to stuff that they don't need. You know, 50, 100 years ago, kids didn't go see therapists. Well, why not? Well, there weren't thousands of therapists 50 or 100 years ago. There was no system in place that supports that. And you know, there wasn't a business mechanism for it. If people went to therapies because they were wealthy adults and they had money and they wanted to give it away, right? Well, now the system's different. It's set up different. And that's not always a good, you know, it's a good thing in that, you know, for folks that need it, the barrier to entry is manageable for most, if not all, people. But I think sometimes that means people that don't really need it end up there, right? It's like the emergency room, right? Now, the way the system is set up for me, if I need to go to the emergency room, I think we have like a $200 copay. So we think about that, right? Like, we weigh that out. I did not go to the emergency room for my earache the other day. I didn't go to my primary care doc either because I couldn't get in, but I went to Express Care, which is not the ER. It's like a doctor's office that you can just walk into and see a doctor real quick and get out. It's for acute kinds of not serious stuff, right? But when my neck was exploding last year, I went to the ER a couple of times because it was that desperate and I didn't care if I had a $200 copay. It's set up that way to make me think about, do you really need to go to the ER? Or could this wait until tomorrow and you go see your primary care doc? That's what the system wants you to do. It's not set up that way for everybody, right? And I'm not intending to set up to have a big social discussion here, but, you know, folks that are on Maine Care, we'll call it, you know, air quotes, free health insurance, that have little to no copays, those folks go to the ER all the time. That is a problem with the system. There's no stopgap there to think about it. So it's a convenience thing lots of times. It is a problem with the system, whether you agree with me or not on that. It's a problem with the system. There's no barrier to entry. So if I'm going to the ER, I have a $200 copay. I make some real, you know, I mean, $200, that's not chump change, right? Like, I make a real decision about whether or not I want to go to the ER or not, because I know that's going to be my out-of-pocket expense every single time. If there's no out-of-pocket expense for you to do that, you don't think about it. You're just like, I can go see my doctor in 2 days, or I can just stroll in the ER today. I got nothing else to do. I can sit around and wait. That is a very poor system. That is a part of our system that is broken. So when the barrier to entry is low, it is human nature, I think, to sometimes take advantage of that. So now I know the vast majority of people listening to this, probably Maine Care is not your working insurance mechanism, but it is for some people, and the barrier to entry is just really easy. We've got 2, 3, 4 social workers at every school, and little Susie, little Johnny can go see them whenever they want, or gets kind of herded into going seeing them. It's easy to do, and I'm not sure that that's what every kid needs. And to go back to what did we do 100 years ago or 75 years ago that we don't do now, here's controversial territory here. What did we do 100 years ago that we don't do now? Why did kids not need therapists 100 years ago? I'll ask you, what do you think? Here's some of what I think. And I think the biggest thing is this. And here's where I'm delving into the unpopular, maybe. But it probably shouldn't be. We parented our children 100 years ago. Yes, we parented our children 100 years ago, the vast majority of families had a stay-at-home mom and were intact, and they had two parents, and they might not have been perfect, but they were there. I assure you that I did not have perfect parenting, but I had two parents, and they were there, and they were supportive, and I had everything I needed. I didn't have anything I wanted when I was real little, and I'm very thankful that I remember that. I remember what that was like to not have wants. I also remember what it was like to have them. But my mom, when we were little, she didn't work. She went back to work when we were, I don't know, I think my sister was in middle school. I might have been in high school when my mom went back to work, like, and worked kind of full time. I think my sister was in middle school. But my mom was with me all the time, and we didn't have any, you know, my dad got a pretty good job when I was probably middle school. My dad got that job. My life changed. We went from just having our needs to having some wants too. And I remember that. And it was a very powerful experience. And it was cool. And I'm super appreciative now that I remember what that was like. And, you know, I look at my kids and I don't know if they had the same. I mean, we definitely had a, because we did the same thing. We made the decision very, which was, I didn't think we were going to, because my wife was kind of this, like, you know, I'm a career gal and I want to do some things. And, you know, we decided to have our first kid, and I don't know, within a week or so, because she had, you know, she was taking maternity leave and staying home for 12 weeks and then she was going back to work. That was the plan anyway. And I don't think he had been home with us for a week. And I got home from work one night and she looked at me and she's like, I don't want to go back to work. And I was like, I don't want you to go back to work either, but I thought you wanted to. And I wasn't going to tell her no. And she's like, yeah, I did, but I don't want to anymore. And that was the day that we decided, okay, you're going to stay home then. And I worked legit three jobs for a couple of years, and then two for like 14. Like, I had a set side gig every week, and I grinded for 13 years. And when that ended, she went back to work. So I guess my kids had a transition for sure, where we went from just getting by. So maybe that's good. I don't know what their perspective on that is, but maybe they have that. Maybe they have that perspective in that lesson too. I hope that they appreciate it, because it was a huge sacrifice. We sacrificed lots of financial opportunities. We sacrificed my time, right? Like, you know, when I was working three jobs, I didn't see. And there were times when I felt like I didn't see my kids, my family at all. Like, I didn't say goodnight some nights, and, you know, that sucked. And I know it was a heavy lift for my wife, because she was home alone all the time and she wasn't doing much social stuff. And, you know, it was hard, and we didn't have any extra money, and I couldn't get ahead on my school loans. Like, it was rough, but we made that decision so that that my kids both had my wife full time for years of their life. But it was very hard. The system is set up to make it hard now to do that. And I think there's a lot of reasons why that is. But regardless, it is what it is. So, you know, back in the day, kids had their parents and they were parented. And even now, I see a massive lack of, like, professionally, I see it almost without exception. One of the biggest issues with kids that come to me for support is just a massive lack of parenting, a lack of attention, a lack of structure and support. And I even see that, you know, and I think you can get away with that sometimes. Some kids are really well adjusted and they get enough along the way. But, you know, I've got friends that are like great parents, but they let their kids free range and freelance and unstructured time way more than I would. And I think there's some unintended consequences with that. I think we're letting screens and phones kind of act like babysitters. And if you take a step back and you think about that, it's kind of lazy parenting. I mean, my daughter has a phone. She's 13. She has a phone. She's got no apps on it. Like, she can do Messenger and stuff like that with her friends, but there's no TalkTick or there's nothing like SnapFace, all that stuff. Like, she ain't got any of that stuff. I know I said the wrong words there. I'm trying to be funny. Come on. That's a little bit funny. But she doesn't have any of that stuff. She resents us for it a little bit, but she makes do. And even we're sitting there watching TV last night, and she's got the thing in her face. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm playing a game. She does way too much of that, and we should not let her do that. But, you know, we go to social events and stuff, and her phone is here at home because it don't go with her places unless she's going to need it for something. And all of her friends are on their phones. I'm like, what are you doing? Come on. You know, that is not how to raise a well-adjusted child. So I could go on for days about this. And I don't want to get up on my pedestal and lecture, but, you know, if for some reason you're thinking your kid might need some kind of therapeutic support and what, and maybe they do. Okay. So, like, I'm not sitting in judgment. I'm definitely not telling you to ask for help if you think you need some help or if the kid's asking for help. But here's what I am saying. Your first intervention should be with you. Like, start with you, plug in, connect with your kids. Pay attention to what they're doing. Pay attention to who their friends are. The research on that is a crystal clear that as kids come into adolescence, you had your chance with them already. Okay. So by the time kids are 15, 16, 17, 18, like, it's kind of too late for you. Like, you had your opportunity to have your influence on them. Let's hope you did not squander the influence. Then where does the influence shift? It shifts to their friend group, their social group, okay? Let's hope you set them up to navigate that intelligently and well. But your only opportunity at that point is to try to influence that friend group. So how am I doing that? Well, I'll tell you how I'm doing that. My daughter's hardcore big time into softball and soccer. For the most part, the girls that she's playing soccer and softball with are good kids. That's my win. I've got her hooked on softball and soccer. I'm less enthusiastic about the soccer piece, but hey, you know, whatever. They are great. The families that we, and that's the ancillary benefit for me, right? The families that we're hanging out with and spending time with are pretty good people too. They're not perfect. And some of them are a little cuckoo, especially that soccer crowd. And you know who you are. They're a little out there, but they're great people, right? Like, I love spending time with them. So that's the win for me. I get to spend time with people that are exhibiting the characteristics that I talked about like 20 minutes ago in my conversation here today, right? That's the win for me. And in turn, I know my daughter's hanging out with these girls that they're getting after it. They're driven. They got goals. They have good families. They're good kids. They're good people. So there's my win. I've set her up for that. Partly by accident, I suppose, but it was deliberate. Like, we know that athletics are going to provide structure to her time and goals and ambition. It was the same with our son, who's a little bit more chill as far as the goals and drive go, but he's in college now. And the kids that he's hanging out with, as far as I know, which is not, you know, I only have so much control over that and so much ability to know what's going on. But I met we went to the track meet 2 weeks ago. I met the guys that he's been talking to me about. I met them all, and they're good kids. I know, are they perfect? Probably not, but they're good kids. They all came up. The guys on the track team that he's hanging out with all came up and introduced themselves to me on their own. Now, it might just be because they wanted to screw with the middle-aged fat guy. I don't know, but that wasn't how they presented. They presented like, hey, like Cody's told us about you. We wanted to meet you.
Huh.
That's cool. It makes a statement. I know he's hanging out with these guys. This is who he's spending his time with. That's good. He's not spending his time with a bunch of miscreants or troublemakers or crackheads or whatever is in Pittsburgh, right? He's spending his time with some good young men that are getting after it. They've got goals. They've got objectives. That's how you can do this with your kids. Like, steer them towards stuff. Maybe it's not sports. Maybe it's, I got a friend that's his kids into acting. That's cool. He's going to hang out with the weird actor kids, whatever. Like, they're probably not getting in a lot of trouble though, right? Like, they're probably pretty good kids. They're probably decent students. They're, you know, that is what you want to do. You want to steer your kids towards pro-social stuff. That requires some attention and some deliberate action on your part. Don't just leave all that stuff to chance. And I don't know, you know, all the softball and soccer parents that I like to hang out with, are they doing that knowingly? I don't know. Probably not. But they're doing it, whether they think it or not. You get a kid, you know, for me, the only reason I had arguably quasi-decent grades in high school is because I played football and I wanted to keep playing football, and it kept me busy. It kept me on track. When I wasn't playing football, I was working out for football. Like, it was a funnel for me. And it doesn't have to be sports. Be something else. It can be, you know, my son was in who there was a pretty very aggressively competitive Lego robotics team at high school. Yeah, it's just a bunch of like quirky, nerdy, geeky kids. Those kids were not getting in trouble. They're good kids. And they're all probably going to run the world someday, right? So, you know, find stuff like that. Get your kids into it early while you still have some influence over them, because when they're 17, you don't have much. It's their friends. So lay the foundation for all that stuff early. And I think, you know, in the vast majority of cases, kids will go where you steer them towards when they're younger. Like, they'll stay on that path. They'll do their own thing. They'll make decisions that we don't agree with from time to time. And they might need a little help along the way. What a lot of these kids want is attention. They want your attention. They want healthy attention. Find ways to give it to them. And I see this as, man, I see this especially in the young girls that I work with. They're going to get it one way or another. So find a way to get, as their parent, find a way to give them positive, pro-social attention. Find a way for them to get those needs met in very healthy, appropriate, pro-social ways. It's probably not from a therapist. And again, I want to be crystal clear. Like, if you find yourself in a pickle, like your kid's just kind of gone off the deep end and you don't know what to do, then get some help by all means. But let's not let it get there in the first place. With the vast majority of kids, this stuff is super duper preventable. It boils down to good parenting. Take some ownership. Lead your family. Be a proactive, attentive, deliberate parent. And that's not a micromanaging helicopter. That's not what I mean. Like the helicopter mom, like that. That's not what I mean. But there's a place in the middle. You know, I'm not saying you rescue your kids all the time. I've talked about this before, right? We're not bailing them out of trouble. We're not doing every little thing for them. We're not doing their homework for them. We're asking them to get through some adversity, but we're doing it like we're right there with them. We're putting down our cell phone. We're pushing away the Netflix, right? We're not going out drinking on Saturday nights. And, you know, and if I'm getting a little preachy here, like, I apologize. Like, that's what being a good parent is. It's a job. It's work. It's hard. But it's incredibly worthwhile. If you raise a couple of, or one or three or whatever you got going on, well-adjusted adults that contribute productively to the world and aren't just a drain on society, like, then you've won, man. Like, you did it. Good job. I applaud you. But I just be slow to steer your children towards therapeutic intervention. And again, I'm not saying don't do it if it's indicated, but it might not be. I just start with you. You're the place to start. You're going to have the most bang for your buck. That doesn't mean I'm saying therapize your kids, right? I'm saying parent them. Be there for them. Give them proactive, supportive, healthy attention. Be involved, be engaged, know their friends, steer that stuff. Get them involved in stuff. Be a parent. And here's, like, you get that chance. You know, my son's, he's gone to college in another state. Like, my opportunity to hands-on parent him is pretty limited at this point in time. You got 18 years, maybe, to do it. And I know it's hard at times, and it's tiring, and, you know, you got sleepless nights early on, or maybe later on, right, when you're, you know, my kid's in freaking South Dakota right now, getting ready to fly home. I don't know anything about his flights or anything like that. I'll buy a quick brag on that. He competed at indoor nationals track and field on Friday. He finished 12th in his event in the country. It was hard just to get there. I think 7 guys on his team qualified for nationals. He's one of them. Finished 12th just outside of points for his team. You know, not too far from being an All-American, top 8 or All-Americans. He's 12th. I think there were 5 seniors in the field, so they're gone next year. I mean, he should be sitting on the podium next year if he's able to keep competing. So anyway, there's a brag. My son, 12th in the country. It's not bad. And he's doing good stuff with his time. He's structured. He's busy. He's hanging out with good pro-social people. I don't know. I feel like we did some stuff right there as a parent, right? So take a look at that. What are you doing from a parenting standpoint? Are you doing enough? If you think your kid needs to go to therapy, my advice is put your parent hat on and dig in a little bit first and see what you can do. Because I bet you they'd rather get it, that support from you, than the weird Birkenstock lady at the middle school. You know what I mean? Anyway, all right. You got some potluck stuff there today. I hope some of that was entertaining, enjoyable, fun. I actually had a good time talking about some of it. I appreciate you. I appreciate folks listening. Share the show. It's the best thing you can do for me. I make some social media posts. Give it a share. Just exposes other people to this. And, you know, I don't know, these last 2 episodes might not be the best 2, but there's something coming down the pike that's for everybody probably. And, you know, I just want ears on the podcast and feedback, ratings, reviews. But give me a share. Share the show. That's the best thing you can do. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate the support. I appreciate the feedback that I keep getting. You know, I care a lot about you. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing it for me too. So if nobody listens but me, well then, that's cool too. But anyway, I know there are other people listening, and I appreciate you. Thanks a bunch. All right, we'll talk next time.